All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Recording a Friday morning. I bumped it back today. We had, of course, the commish and the Bucks Uncensored podcast and Ira's award-winning, just highly acclaimed podcast, both dropping yesterday. So I took a step aside, said, hey, let's let those guys take Thursday. I'll bump back to today. Plus, I was getting ready yesterday for my show that I do on Lightning Power Play, the Lightning Radio Network, which you can hear usually 2.5 hours to 1.5 hours before each game. So like with these 8 o'clock face-offs, I've been doing a show over there called Victory Stripes, if you want to tune in at tblpowerplay.com. And that show is on from 5:30 to 6:30 on a day when it's an 8 o'clock face-off. And I had that going on yesterday with Game 4 last night. And I got to tell you, folks, and we got a lot to get to on the show today. We'll get to the Bucks and we'll get to the kickoffs and football things and some other things. We got some royal wedding stuff today. But I am tired this morning, not just physically but emotionally, because of the roller coaster that has become the 2018 Stanley Cup playoffs. And I know a lot of you that listen to all the stuff here on JoeBucksFan.com, you're obviously football fans, but a lot of you are probably local sports fans in general, like me. I'm a huge fan of the Bucks. I'm a huge fan of the Rays, and I'm a huge fan of the Lightning. Those are the three babies, you know. Like the, it's like a set of children you have that you don't love them the same. You love them equally as far as how hard you love them, but not the same way. There's different relationships, right? So my relationship with the Bucks, of course, goes back. It's the only one, the team we've had that's been around my whole life. Then we got the Lightning when I was in middle school. We got the Rays when I was just starting college. But I love them all, and as much fun as hockey is in general, the Stanley Cup playoffs are absolutely outstanding. And this is a little just tip to those of you who maybe haven't gotten into it yet or don't pay much attention, you know, found yourself as a hockey fan yet. Give it a shot. Like, turn it on. And especially now. I mean, I don't know how you could be a sports fan and not just be absolutely just deep into this stuff. But even as a casual fan, and don't worry about, you can still get in on the ground floor. Don't worry, it ain't a bandwagon thing. But if you just want, as I always say, the ultimate reality TV, all this Bachelorette and crap like that, sports is the ultimate reality TV. And if you want to get more of a piece of that, and you've got it every night now with Vegas and Winnipeg series in the West and the Lightning and Capitals in the East alternating nights, man. I mean, last night, and, you know, everybody jokes, oh, you know, my heart rate's up. My heart rate was literally up for about an hour, like a sustained elevated heart rate watching the end of the second period and all of the third period of the Lightning Capitals game and just feeling like the entire season was flashing before my eyes and that literally whoever scored the next goal was going to determine the outcome of this hockey season that's been going on for almost 6 months now. And let me tell you something, hockey season is way too long, okay? There's no reason to play 82 regular season games. It's just, it's plodding. It's, quite honestly, like, it's difficult to get through. Like, it shouldn't be this hard. And the same goes for Major League Baseball, and the same goes for the NBA. The NFL is the sport that has it right, and I don't think that's a coincidence when you look at the popularity of all the sports. And, oh, this sport's gaining in popularity, this sport's losing a little bit, on and on and on. The NFL, by far, is the most popular sport in college football, too. And I think that's one, not the only reason, but a big reason why, is the urgency in every game and the fact that it is so fleeting. And you only play once a week, and it's only those three precious months out of the year, really, when you get September, October, November for college, and NFL goes into December, and the playoffs in January. But you don't get, you know, like baseball season, 7 months? And hockey season, just the regular season alone, is almost 6 months. It's incredibly asinine that they play that much. But when you finally get down to it, there's still time to do it. We had a bunch of games last night on Thursday night and a few more earlier in the week, but there's some tonight. If you want to get your local dose of football, I'm a big, big proponent and a big supporter of high school football. And for those of you out there that want your fix, there are a number of games all around the area tonight that you can go watch. These are the spring jamborees, as they call them. And this is when you have spring football, of course, you know, what they have in college and high school, and it's kind of cool. Although I didn't like it when I was a player because you had to go to practice. But in May, you can practice for 4 weeks and you just practice every day. And it's the worst if you're a player, because like in a regular season situation, you practice, you know, you get your Monday light day if you're coming, you know, off of a game on Friday night if you're a high schooler. Tuesday and Wednesday you go hard. Thursday's a pregame, you know, shorts and t-shirts and helmets, walkthrough, and you play on Friday, and that's fine. But spring football, no. We're just going to go full pads every day, Monday through Friday for a month, and then we'll play a little game at the very end there. And that is awful. Like, it's awful. But as a football fan, it helps the kids a lot because, you know, a lot of states don't have spring football. And if you look at the NFL draft that took place this past April, and if you look at the college recruiting numbers and the star ratings and who goes where and where the blue chips come from, where the first round draft picks come from, where all the draft picks come from, they come from states like Florida, Texas, California, and Florida leads them all. And the reason for that is spring football. Not every state has it. They can't do it in some states because of the weather, but the kids here get that extra month of practice every year, and they get to play that game, and that game is the greatest feeling ever, because you practice for a full month, and then you finally get to play a little game, and it usually falls on either the last day of school or like this, the week before the last day of school, and it's, I mean, one of the greatest feelings ever is finishing up that. We used to have our jamboree. It was the last Friday of school that Friday night, so we'd finish school, go play a football game, and that gun would sound at the end of the game, and you were done, baby. You were done with practice. You were done with school. You had summer staring you right in the face, and that is a feeling that as you get older in life, you know, there's certain things you lose about childhood. That's one you can never get back again. Like, you never truly get that last day of school feeling after high school. Even in college, like, you'd finish a semester up and that'd be one thing, but it's not the same. Like, high school, your senior year is the last time that bell rings and you get that rush, and it's just one of those things. So for all you high school kids out there, and I know a lot of people are graduating and all that stuff, congrats, savor it. It really is kind of one of those unique points in your life that you can't duplicate again. And for all you football fans out there, either bring it up online or get out your local newspaper, which I would hope you still have on your counter, because I think we should all read the newspaper. I know a lot of us don't. But they'll see the list of games and go down the street, whatever your local high school is, or if there's one closer to you, that, you know, go check out a game tonight. Real football, pads cracking, uniforms, the field painted, the whole thing. It's real football. And then after that, you know, we got nothing but, well, we got nothing really until training camp starts in July. And that's getting closer and closer. But support high school football. I'm a big believer in it. And, you know, one of the things, I love college football if you guys know me, but one of the things I don't like about football is the way they play games on Friday nights, a few of them. And as a fan, I kind of have to admit, you know, I fall for it because I watch those games, but I think high school football, especially since that supplies all the players to college football, and especially because when you talk about things that are really truly American, I mean, high school football on a Friday night, you know, Friday night lights, like they say, that's the most American damn thing there is, man. And I think Friday nights are sacred. I don't think they should be touched. I think that night everybody steps aside and you let the high school kids have their fun and play. And you shouldn't have a high school in whatever town, you know, and USF's done it a few times, and obviously I don't think they take away much from the local high school scene, but you shouldn't have high school football trying to compete with college football. I just don't think that's right. But anyway, my point was, we're a little lean on football right now, but we got a huge sports weekend. We got the Lightning Capitals Game 5 on Saturday. We've got the Preakness, if you're into horse racing, and I am, I know a lot of you may not be, but Justify is going to try his hand at the second jewel of the Triple Crown, see if he can pull it off. He's a better than even money favorite. We've got, if you're into the NBA, which I am not, but you've got plenty of both Eastern and Western Conference finals going on there. I mean, it's a nice, this is a good weekend coming up here. And then if you are a complete and total Yahoo, you've got the royal wedding on Saturday morning. And I'm going to get to that in a minute because I'll tell you what. You know, I really try not to be one of those people who is not accepting of people who are different from me, understanding people have different viewpoints and things like that, and knowing that everybody's going to believe the same things I believe. You know, I try to be that way. We all should. And I think for the most part, I succeed. But there's certain things where I fail and I can't contain my utter disdain, and maybe even contempt is the word, for the people who get excited about a certain thing And I should just let well enough alone, let people live, you know, live and let live, like they say. It doesn't affect me. But there's a few things in life that even though they don't affect me, that I just, they upset me. And these women, and it's mainly women, although if you're a dude and you're into this, that sucks, okay? You need to really make some evaluations. But this, you know, there's new, one of the princes is getting married in England, which is fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with the existence of a monarchy in the United Kingdom. You know, I know it's a tradition thing. The monarchy doesn't actually govern or anything like that. I mean, they, you know, it's a symbolic thing. And I really don't have a problem with it. I honestly don't. I mean, it's fine. What I have a problem with, though, I'm reading the paper the other day. I'll do the thing now. We might as well just do this rant right now. I'm reading the paper the other day, and every Wednesday in the Tampa Bay Times, there's something called the Taste Section. And it's like a once-a-week thing. It's a food-dedicated section. My wife, Chelsea, really enjoys reading it, and I know a lot of people do. And it's a different theme every week, and that's great. Again, fine. So this week's edition, got it right here, as you can hear. The headline, A Royal Touch. Set your alarm clock Saturday and usher in the nuptials of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle with a breakfast fit for a queen. What kind of a jagoff do you think I am that I'm going to have a party on a Saturday morning? And I encourage people to have parties and spend time with their friends, especially after you get older and you have kids and you do it less and less. So I'm all about looking for any reason you can to have a party, okay? And even I'm aghast at the idea that people would get together, and I say people, that women would get together and actually make a big deal out of a freaking wedding from some people in a country across the Atlantic Ocean. That is, even people in England, I'd be, surprised that they actually care about this, let alone people here. But this, let me just read you a little excerpt here. And this is by Sharon Kennedy Wynn, and I'm not picking on Sharon Kennedy Wynn. I'm sure she's very nice. But she wrote an article about her plans. This is the food writer for the Tampa Bay Times. She says, I'm reading this now, okay. Almost 23 million viewers in the U.S. watch coverage of Prince Harry's brother, Prince William, marrying Kate Middleton. So we set our alarm clocks just like we did in 1981 for the wedding of Prince Charles and Diana, when an estimated 17 million Americans tuned in. No, we don't set our alarm. Nobody normal is doing this. And I can say this, too. I love my wife for so many reasons. All right, but one of the things I love about her the most, and it's got nothing to do with how she looks, it's got nothing to do with what it's got to do with, she would not be caught dead doing something like this. And she can't roll her eyes hard enough. And she was the one that brought this paper to me, because I don't even look at the Taste Section. She brought this to me and said, look at this. Can you believe this? And I said, you know, normally I wouldn't have even paid attention to it, but since you brought it up, no, I can't believe it. And look, I'm not. Maybe some of you guys have girlfriends or wives who are into this. I'm not trying to put them down. I mean, I definitely am putting them down, but I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to say they're lesser people or anything. But man alive, I'm so my wife is so cool for, like I said, so many reasons. But I mean, like literally, she would eat hot glass before she watched a single millisecond of this crap, let alone have a party, and get this, article continues. Here's the plan the women of my neighborhood have hatched. I don't know what neighborhood this is, but I'm glad I don't live in it. Meet at my house by 6:30 a.m. See, the wedding's at noon in England, which is 7 a.m. our time. Meet at my house by 6:30 a.m. for a British wedding breakfast. Then tune in and marvel at all the hats. Like, I'm going to read that sentence again. Tune in and marvel at all the hats. Hats! And I'm a Kentucky Derby fan. I don't care about hats then either. She continues, the attire, pajamas, and hats. These women are going to wake up at 6 in the morning on a Saturday and wear pajamas and hats to go watch a wedding. And my God. Again, I'm going to stop short because I don't want to say anything that could be considered like really truly offensive in case any of you guys out there are listening and have wives that do this. And I'm always going to be genuine with you. You know that. Like, I'm the type of person that's not afraid to push the envelope. I'm not always going to be genuine with you. I'm always going to give you exactly what I'm thinking. But I'm also, you know, people say, oh, I don't care who I offend. I don't want to make people feel bad, okay? I sometimes I do care who I offend. Absolutely. I think we all should, because I don't want to say mean things about people. So I'm going to stop there. But let it suffice to say that I was, you know, there's a lot of reasons in the paper every day or in the news every day nowadays that you can find to be disappointed in your fellow humankind, okay? When I see the royal wedding, and I don't know a lot of people who are into this, thankfully, not just my wife, but most of my friends and buddies, their wives, I don't think they're into this either. It's some weird, weird subculture that I'm glad I don't know anybody who's a part of. But, you know, this is one of those things that make me, you know, kind of feel not so great about my fellow mankind. It's just not a, it's just amazing to me. So anyway, let's move on to happier things. And I did want to talk about the kickoff rules, because now we've got some concrete stuff for the new kickoff rules that's not official yet. They're going to vote on these at the owners' meetings, and that hasn't happened yet. But anticipating what might be coming for these new rules, we've been talking about all the possible things. So right now, you've got your kickoffs in the NFL, and aside from being moved up to the 35 a few years ago, where almost every kickoff's a touchback now, nothing crazy has happened with the kickoff, but I do think football is going to look different this year if these get approved. And I don't think it'll be like radical yet, but again, like I've told you on previous podcasts, the whole point of this is not to make a rule that makes sense long term right now. It's just to take a step toward not having kickoffs at all, so that when they eventually do not have kickoffs at all, nobody freaks out or can't believe it because the transition's too fast. You know, when you go from one end of a spectrum to the other, let's say on a 0 to 100 spectrum, you don't go from 0 to 100, you go to 0 to 20, and you hang out there for a year or two. Then you go from 20 to 35, and you hang out there for a year or two. And then you go from 35 maybe to 60, you know, a little bigger jump. And now you're hanging out at 60, where you were at 0 a few years ago, but you didn't go straight there. Now you're hanging out at 60 for a little while. Then you say, all right, boom, we're going all the way, no kickoffs. That's how you got to do it. And that's just not just with football. That's with a lot of things, with change, with people. And I'm that way too. I don't like radical change, all the, you know, in a lot of cases. You know, I try not to be averse to change, but my thing has always been for any changes, whether it's uniforms or things like that, are we changing just for the sake of change, which I don't like, or are we changing because we have good reasons for it and because we think what we're going to do is going to be better than what we were doing? And that should be the whole impetus for any change, I think. And that's where I get pissed off with the whole uniform thing, because some people just say, oh, we've had the same uniforms for 10 years. We should change them just because they can't be the same. I think uniforms same for 100 years if you can, like the Yankees and like the, you know, the Packers and like the Raiders. I mean, I don't think you should dick with stuff like that. But some people are just like, oh, yeah, time for a change. It's been long. No, no, no. Why are you changing? Are there good reasons for this? So the kickoff, obviously, there's good reasons that at least they profess, and that's that, you know, we want to make the game safer. Kickoffs are very hard on the body. There's a lot of injuries. Never played in the NFL, but I have played football, and I've been on kickoff and kickoff return, and I can say it's fun. I mean, kickoff, especially kickoff coverage, is fun. You run down there like a wild banshee, and you're looking around making sure you don't get just dropped to the ground and just crushed, and at the same time, you're looking to crush somebody else. It's a very weird dynamic because you transition like you're sprinting down there and your head is on a swivel. I mean, because they're trying to hit you like hard and they're trying to do it from the side so that you can't see them. And you got to get through those lanes and try and get around it. But then all of a sudden, boom, you come face to face with the kickoff return guy if you did your job and you got through all that stuff. And now you got to be the one headhunting it. And they're still headhunting you. It's scary. Like, it takes balls to do that. And I'm not saying that just because I did it. I mean, To be on the kickoff team, be one of those 10 guys, not counting the kicker, although some kickers get into it too, you know, it takes some serious balls to do that. I can only imagine at the NFL level when the quality of the people trying to kill you is much higher than it is in high school or semi-pro or anything like that. But, you know, you do get a lot of injuries because I've even gotten hurt in blocking people. Like, I've gotten hurt on kickoff return as one of the blockers, because you're blocking a guy who's running full speed from 40 yards away and you're standing still. I tore my tricep muscle one time just absorbing the shock trying to block a guy who was running by me full speed. It wasn't a head injury or anything, but those things do happen. So this is what they're doing to combat that. Aside from you know, we know about the one where they were talking about making it a fair catch brings you out to the 25, even if you fair catch it on your own 5-yard line. Anything inside the 25, fair caught goes out to the 25. I don't think a lot of guys will do that because I think they want to return the ball, but you know, here's something else that we've got going right now. So, first of all, they're going to restrict how the kickoff team can line up. Right now, you are allowed to go unbalanced. You used to be able to go as unbalanced as you wanted. You could bring, you know, 10 guys to one side of the kicker for these onside kicks, and you'd have this giant two-walled, like, battlefield scenario, you know, where the onside kick would get bounced up high, and then the first wall of five guys would try and just kill everybody in front of them. The second wall of five guys would try and catch the ball. And they changed that a few years ago so that you had to have at least four guys on either side of the kicker. So you can only go on balance now with four on one side and six on the other. They're going to change that, or at least proposal is to possibly change that, where it has to be five on each side no matter what. So that would make onside kicks very difficult because, again, you have to have that extra guy or two over there to increase your chances of recovering it. If it's only five on each side, you know, I mean, I guess you could have a little bit more deception as far as they don't know which side you're going to kick to, but you'd only have five guys of your own running over there. So that's one. The other one, kickoff teams will not have even as much of a running start as they have now, which is already a lot less than it used to be. If you remember, you used to be able to, you know, go back 20, 25 yards, start a dead sprint, and as long as you didn't cross the ball before it was kicked, you could get down there. Then they changed that a few years ago to where you had to be within 5 yards of the ball, which is still a running start, but not as much of one. And now they're talking about you have to be within 1 yard of the 35-yard line. So you can't do anything to get yourself moving forward. Basically, you just have to kind of lean back and rock and go. And that would, again, reduce the speed of the people running down the field on the kick. So that's another proposal. And So far, again, not radical, minor changes. Now, the width of your formation. Another proposal states that at least two players have to be outside the yard markers, and at least two players have to be between the sideline and the yard line number. So you've got, again, you know where the yard numbers are in the NFL. They're a little narrower than a college field. And a lot of people don't realize that. Like, the hash marks we know are different widths, NFL, college, and high school. And I think they should all be standardized. But the actual numbers are painted more narrowly on NFL fields than they are for college fields because of that reason. And you'll notice sometimes when college and NFL teams share a field or when they play college games on an NFL field, you know, they're not going to move the numbers, obviously. It's too cluttery. You can't paint 2 cents of numbers and you can't move them. But they will paint little tiny hash marks where the numbers are supposed to be on a college field, like wider, when they're playing on an NFL field. If you take note of that, it matters because now you're going to have guys outside of those. So you're really spreading everybody out. And again, you're just trying to cut down on these battlefield scenarios with bodies just clashing in close quarters, you know, at high speeds. And then finally, and this is the biggest one, I think, and this is for the kickoff return team now, at least 8 players, there's 11 guys out there, 8 of them have to be within 15 yards of the restraining line. So again, that's 10 yards from the ball. So the ball's at the 35. The restraining line's the 45-yard line, which means the receiving team, you know how it is. You can't get closer than to the 45-yard line. So now, 5 yards back is midfield, 15 more is the 40. You'll have 8 guys all past the 40-yard line. That means from the 40-yard line back to the end zone, you'll only have 3 people on the return team. Everyone else has to be right up there by the line. What they want is everybody close together again, so you don't have guys from 30, 40 yards away running full speed into another guy. So everyone, it's going to be almost like a play from scrimmage. Not quite like that, but almost like a play from scrimmage with the 3 return guys way back there. Now, I think this could be good for excitement because, you know, when you're a kickoff return guy and you look up and you catch that ball, even if you're 5 yards deep, you'll bring it out if you look up when you've caught the ball and you don't see a lot of bodies in front of you. And if these guys are all like way, even your own players, you know, if they're all way up ahead, 40 yards away from you, you're going to see a lot more green grass. And I think you'll see guys on the return teams be more inclined to try and return the football. And I don't know if the NFL thinks that'll happen or not. I mean, I think ultimately they want touchbacks, but I think this will lead to fewer touchbacks. It may lead to more safe kickoff return plays when there's a kickoff return, but I think there'll also be more kickoff returns. And obviously the safest kickoff play is a touchback because nothing happens. So I'm not sure if they know that and they're going with it anyway or if they think it's going to be different. But I'm just thinking, I mean, think about if you were a return guy and you're standing on your own goal line, you're waiting back there, kick comes up, takes you 5 yards into the end zone, you catch it halfway into your own end zone. But you look ahead and there's not a single player on either team, except for maybe, you know, one guy who's there with you to return it, within 30 yards of you. You're going to run. Like, you're going to try, and you got a lot of space there. So I think that could lead to some excitement, if I'm reading this right. And I'm hoping, you know, as much as I'm sympathetic to the safety thing, and that is the number one thing, no question, and, you know, we should be doing everything we can to preserve football so that we don't have to fend off more people who want to completely kill the game. And I don't think there's a lot of people that do, but, you know, you have to make concessions, and I think this could be one of them. But the kickoff is still, to me, I mean, it's just one of the most iconic plays in sports. I mean, when you start a football game, I still think of the Super Bowl and everybody lining up and the kicker kind of looking to one side with his arm in the air and checking on both sides on his return or on his kickoff coverage guys and making sure everybody's ready. And then he drops that arm and you put toe to leather, as Gene Deckerhoff says, and that ball sails in the air. And in the Super Bowl, you see all the flash bulbs go off, the guy's sprinting down the field. You know, I was there for Devin Hester's kickoff return of the Super Bowl. How cool. I mean, it's just a cool play, or at least it can be. And so I actually am kind of excited at the prospect of that one rule change, of all the rule changes, making the return team blockers all stay up near midfield. 8 of the 11 have to, if this passes. That's more space for the runner. More space for the runner is more exciting. And I actually have a pretty good feeling about that one. So, again, this is not done yet. There are several proposals. They don't all have to be accepted in blanket terms. So some of the ones I just mentioned could be voted in. Some could not be passed. But I have a feeling that when they work these things up, they do that knowing that the owners are behind them and that they're going to get the vote. So it's something we're anticipating. But we'll see. But what I really do want the most, no matter what, because I'm a big fan of simplicity, I want them to standardize all this. Like, make it the same for college. Make it the same for the NFL. I don't want necessarily every single rule in football to match. But I do like the 1 foot, 2 foot thing, college and pro, inbounds on a catch. I'm fine with that being different. But I wish the hash marks were the same width, because one, it would just look better. You wouldn't have to worry about switching fields and you could standardize it. You know, one set of hash marks, I really don't see any reason why they wouldn't do that, but they haven't. And I wish the big rules, like as far as gameplay, timekeeping, things like that, you know, I'm okay with the stopping a clock on a first down in college and not in the NFL. And I think the NFL should abolish the two-minute warning, because the two-minute warning is just an anachronism from a time when they kept time on the field and there was no clock on the scoreboard or nobody knew how much time was left. And that was exactly what the two-minute warning was. It was a warning that, hey, we're down to 2 minutes, so here, let's take a break for a second. You don't need that now. And college gets by just fine without it. And I don't think, you know, so we'll see what happens, but I do wish these things were, you know, and college might take these rules up after they see how they work in the NFL. Of course, college has done their own set of things to change, you know, how kickoffs go, but I think this could be something that has the potential to be a happy medium. And then, you know, 3-4 years from now, when they try to do more to it again, we can all raise hell again about how they're messing with football, leave it alone, blah, blah, blah. But we'll see what the injury numbers say. The injury numbers could tell a tale about this, that maybe it's, you know, the desired effect, or if it's not having the desired effect. Anyway, if you want to email me, I always love hearing your emails, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. You can get a hold of me anytime. If you want to get me on Twitter, @bobbygameday, you know, we'll have over the summer plenty to get to with the Bucks and things like that. There's not a lot going on right now. We're still in a holding pattern with this whole Jameis Winston thing, which is kind of ridiculous to me, but, you know, the NFL is going to do what it's going to do. I do think, though, that the longer they take, if for those of you not knowing what I'm talking about, you know, the whole accusations with the Uber driver thing and the illegal touching and all that, you know, that's something that is not over yet and could still result in Winston missing playing time, which if it's true, he should. I mean, I'm not trying to say, screw it, I don't care, let's just play football. The truth should be sought out, but the fact that it's taking this long, I think, it's hard for me to believe they would just drag their feet on this and then pop it on you, you know, a month before the season. Oh, yeah, he's out for the first four games. You know, I think the longer it takes, the more it bodes well for the Bucks. At least that's the theory I'm going with. But anyway, everybody have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. We'll be back next week. I'm telling you, enjoy the hockey. If you're already into it, you already know. But if you're not, Saturday night, 7:15, NBC, national TV, just throw it on. Give it a chance. And if you have a chance to go to Amalie Arena on Saturday, even better. It's going to be an absolute zoo. And, you know, instead of this royal wedding crap, call some friends over to your house for that. Say, hey, let's watch the Lightning game. It's not just a guy thing, male, female, no matter what. You know, always look for reasons to get together with friends, but make them good reasons, not the royal wedding. And ladies, evaluate things, okay? And I'm sure I do things that you probably think are despicable and pathetic, and you think I need to reevaluate things. But if you're having a royal wedding party and you're wearing pajamas and hats with your girlfriends and waking up at 6 in the morning to watch two people get married, okay? Take some stock, okay? Step back and think about how maybe we could do things better. And I'll leave you guys with that. Wherever you are, have a great weekend. Like I said, be safe. Thank you for listening. I'm Bobby Fenton. Thanks to the Joes for putting me on the air, as always, on this unbelievably fantastic website that even in the darkest spot in the offseason is updated 4, 5, 6 times a day with fresh content. There is no place on the internet better than Joe Bucks Fan to be if you are a Bucks fan. Thanks to the Joes for getting it done for me and allowing me to get in front of you guys. I'll talk to you guys next week. In the meantime, wherever you are, have a good evening, good afternoon, good night, and let's go Bucks.